Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hide your cats! It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century, from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I'm your TV guide, Brett White, and this week I'm joined by Ben Ragib. Hello, Ben!
Hi, Brett.
What's going on?
I want to apologize to everybody listening to your podcast, in front of everybody. I'm very sorry for spilling water on your sofa. Very nice to have me as a guest here, and I've been created a mess, and I feel like maybe that is an omen.
I think it's very on game with the episode we're doing, maybe. So this week, we're traveling to May 9th, 1988. Colors ruled the box office. Wishing Well by Terrence Trent D'Arby topped the charts, which is a great song. And Alf aired Varsity Drag. Ben, you must have seen Varsity Drag before.
I definitely have. I probably saw it when it aired Monday night because ALF was like appointment television.
For you and your family?
It's possible that maybe that wasn't until later seasons. I don't really remember all that clearly, but I do remember that Monday nights we would all watch ALF.
I mean, this was 1988, so I was four. I was almost four. But I feel like ALF was such a pop culture phenomenon. Like, he existed even outside of the TV show. There were ALF toys and ALF puppets. Mm-hmm. There was an ALF comic book that Marvel put out. ALF was just an omnipresent pop culture figure that it's shocking to me that the show only lasted four seasons. Because I never watched ALF. I didn't watch. ALF was not regular viewing, or maybe I was just so young that it was regular viewing, but those memories just didn't.
Yeah, it's possible.
In my brain.
Yeah, so in 1980, I was 8 years old.
Yeah,
so I was slightly less than.
Brian's age.
Yeah, sorry. Benji Gregory is the actor.
Knowledge.
I've been reading Wikipedia, and he's 2 years older than me. I was very much like, yes, I was like. No, and it's funny. He would be the kid that I identified with on the show, or the character I identified with, I was talking to somebody else, and they were talking about how the ALF the animated series, which I totally forgot about.
Oh yeah,
because they made a cartoon this was the same time they made a cartoon about his life on Melmac, and then ALF Tales, which was just like. ALF and his alien friends doing Earth Tales. But like
Was that a cartoon?
Yeah, there were like two cartoons.
There were two cartoons?
Yeah.
I didn't really watch it that much, but when we started watching this and I saw the opening credits, it all came flooding back to me. Because the only thing I really remember about the show is the opening credits of him. The POV shot of him with a video camera running around the house.
Big shoulder-mounted JVC video. We had one of those.
Yeah, we had one of those.
Yeah.
Him walking in on the mother in the shower. Which just
very
seems
scandalous.
Very scandalous. But all that just brought back so many... Is it the same opening credits for all 4 years?
I'm pretty sure. Should we talk about why I suggested this?
Yeah, go for it.
Am I the first one who gets to suggest an episode?
No. Ari Scott and Mujan also
suggested
theirs.
Right. So
I broke my own rule for you guys.
Yeah! right, so... Oh boy, what was the question?
Why did you suggest? Oh, why did you bring me through this journey?
Why did I dredge this up? Yeah, so a couple. So yeah, so like I said, Alf was like one of the shows we all watched together when I was a kid, and I remember that, had all sorts of fond memories of Alf. And then a couple years ago, it was on Hulu.
Yeah, because it's not anymore. You got to buy it on iTunes. Yeah.
But it showed up on Hulu, and I was like, yeah, and basically I was like, oh, cool, Alf. I'll watch Alf again.
This will be a fun romp.
And it was so weird because at the first time around I watched Alf, like I said, I was, you know, 8 to 10 years old, and, like, it was funny, and this is funny alien. And,
yeah.
And then I watched it again as an adult who pays rent, and I was like, this... Alf is a monster.
Yeah, this is a horror show.
He's horrible. I felt so much worse for Willy. Like, you know, when I was a kid, Willy was just kind of mean. Like, yeah. And now I'm like, oh my god, why does he not murder Alf?
Yeah.
I don't understand. So it was kind of trippy. It didn't, I don't know, I was like, I still enjoy the show, but definitely enjoy it differently. And in a way, it's kind of like a, I don't know, it makes me think about, like, how, yeah, you can't go back, right? Like,
your brain totally recalibrates the older you get if you go back and look at these older shows. Let's get into it. This week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Alf episode Varsity Drag. It's the 26th episode of season 2. It was written by Lisa A. Bannock and directed by Gary Shimokawa. Here's how iTunes describes the episode. Alf takes a job as a paper carrier when he learns that the cost of his upkeep is preventing Lynn from attending her first choice college. Ben, how accurate is that?
I believe that is how Alf would describe it.
Yeah.
Were you not able to find TV Guide for this? Or?
Oh, like the TV... I don't ever do TV Guide summaries, although that'd be fun.
I thought that's what you were doing.
No, I'll try to do ratings at the end. I usually try and find whatever the streaming service describes them as.
Yeah.
But then again, the streaming service might describe them in the way that TV Guide might have described them, now that I think about it.
Probably.
Like, I wonder, because I know that they do recycle a lot of the summaries, you know, around all the streaming services. I wonder if they pulled them originally from TV Guide.
Yeah.
No, because that's, again, like, reading that summary and going to this episode, that's what I thought. I thought I was going to see Alf on a bicycle, you know, throwing.
No.
He gets a job for Lynn and... No, for Kate and Willy.
Right, so
like,
so
the parents end up having to do it. Like, it's not even... Oh, God.
So the plot's very simple, right? And there was no... Actually, yeah, the show... This episode was actually less complicated than I remembered, even. Because there's no, like, B-plot at all,
no,
right?
It's...
It's just... so it's Lynn... Lynn gets the letter that she is accepted into Amherst and is super excited. Kate and Willy give her letter down and let her know that they can't afford to send her.
Because of Alf.
Because of
Alf. They, like, cannot say it, like, yeah. Because Alf because is too Alf. Expensive and eats expensive. Everything.
Alf, learning this, tries to help by trying to find jobs for, like, just find more jobs.
For the other two. For the parents.
His first attempt is to find jobs for Kate and Willy, that's one of those things, right, where it's, like, his suggestion... the job he pitches to Kate was
suggestions. Like, suggestion 1, telemarketing. For interview, call 555 Jugs.
But he didn't say phone sex operator, right?
No.
It was like phone sub. It was, that's the thing, right? It was all euphemisms.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, like, funny, right? That's something when I was 10, I would have been like, this is funny because people are laughing and it sounds goofy, but yeah. I don't understand what 555 Jugs means.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, he does that, and then another joke that he was like, oh, I could be an exotic dancer, because dancing, right?
And he dances, and it's cute and, like, funny.
Right, because he doesn't understand what that is, we think.
I'm really surprised they didn't go for, like, the I'm an exotic creature joke. Like, it's right there. Exotic dancing, I'm exotic, and I dance.
Well, he just
not
didn't
a good
dance.
Joke.
I think he just didn't, I mean, look.
Point out that he's an exotic
Alf
creature.
Alf is about... subtlety.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it wasn't the need to hit you over the head with that. I think that read pretty clear. So yeah, so that fails. So instead he gets himself the job of a paper route.
Ten paper routes.
But except he doesn't really get the job himself because he basically agrees to do that, wakes up Kate and Willy, they come down, there's an enormous number, 501 newspapers in their living room, and then... Yeah, and then Kate and Willie have to drive around in a station wagon, and, like, Willie's the one actually throwing them.
Yeah.
And
he falls, Alf falls asleep before it's over.
Right.
Like, yes, and then I want to unpack the ending of the episode once we get there, but I want to get into, like, some detail.
But yeah, so the question is, does Alf commits them to doing it, but he still requires them to help execute.
Yeah.
And so, he didn't really get
the...
He didn't do the job.
Anything.
He agreed to do the job.
Yes. So, like, the episode opens with Alf on the couch, just, like, freeloading. I wrote, like, Alf on couch freeloading is, like, literally how it starts.
He's hanging out.
He just... And that's what he does literally all the time.
Right.
Is the pilot of the episode... Is the pilot of the series Alf coming to Earth and them finding him?
Yes.
Okay. And why do they agree to this setup?
I think he, if I remember correctly, he crashes into their garage. And I think it has to do with Willie being a ham radio operator.
Oh.
So he crashes into their garage, and then the government comes by, and they're, like, conflicted about turning him over. They've like, I think there's, like, some dialogue where it's like, oh, yes, we're going to chop it into bits. And they're like, oh, we can't let that happen. So that's why they agreed to harbor him.
Little do they know that he's going to cost them, what, $10,000 in complications, I think?
Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous. $10,000. Just stop buying so many miscellaneouses. What are they? Greek pastries?
And there's also a point where he points out, like, $10,000, that could, like, feed a family of four on Melmac. And then I started wondering, like, how does he know that? Like, what is the Melmac to Earth exchange rate? Like,
Like I said, I was rereading Wikipedia on the way over, and they do actually, I guess they establish it, so I don't remember this, but they do establish that the currency on Melmac is Wernix, which is the name of one of the producers, and that it is roughly $1 to $10. Like... one Wernick is $10, or the other way around. They do establish an exchange rate.
I'm so glad that they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, at some point. Really get deep into it. There isn't a lot to talk about in this, because the plot is so bare bones, and it's also so sad. There's a moment where...
And it's the season finale, too.
This is the season two finale.
Yeah.
This is the halfway point of the series, and it only lasted 4 seasons. There's a point when Willie and Kate are first breaking the news to Lynn... where they've asked Alf to leave, and Willie says, like...
If it's any consolation, we've had a rare opportunity living with an alien. You know, you couldn't get that at Amherst.
I'll never find out, will I?
Which is a joke, but no one laughed. Like, that wasn't a laugh line. And then they repeat that line again, like, 10 seconds later when Alf comes back in, and all of a sudden it's funny.
Yeah.
But when they are breaking the news to her, they just... The laugh track goes away. And I thought that was really weird, because I was like, that's a funny joke. Like, this is a rare opportunity, living with an alien. Any other show, that's a joke. And this, they were like, it's serious. Which it is serious. I don't know. Very weird how they handled that.
Yeah, no, actually, I didn't really thought about the fact... So this was definitely a laugh track show, right?
Oh, 100%.
Because of the puppet work, they couldn't do this in front of a live audience.
I can't imagine.
No, well, yeah. I looked that up.
But, yeah.
Right, and so, like... So it's interesting, right? Because, like, for a live audience, right, they do try to, like, be like, hey, laugh now.
I think there is, like, a sign. There's usually, like, a sign that says, like, applause or laughter.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. At Late Show, because I worked at Late Show, we didn't have, you know, we just had to, that's why we told them all the time, everything is funny, laugh at literally everything. And then you get celebrities coming on telling, like when Michael Richards came on to apologize for being a racist.
Yeah.
The audience laughed at that. And then they were like, why are you guys laughing? And it's like, because we just, for 10 minutes, we had a person in a blue polo yelling at us to laugh at literally everything. And also, we're tourists and have been taken out of the news cycle, so we have no idea of what's going on. That's really weird, because they could do this whole episode and then in post be like, put a laugh here, don't put a laugh here. And so that one scene where they're letting her down, they, like, play it real straight.
Right.
Real dramatic. Right. Even though there are lines in there that could be funny.
Right.
Very weird. And it's also, this is a show with a puppet on it, and you're doing your dramatic moments.
Well, it still is. Yeah, it's a sad it's moment.
I also wanted to bring up, I also noticed how pastel the entire set is.
Hmm.
it really took me back to a very specific time of the 80s, which I mean late 80s. The set looks like how Taco Bell and McDonald's looked in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. The kitchen is this weird, like, robin's egg blue and turquoise.
Okay.
And then, like, Lynn's bedroom is, like, baby pink and, like, some yellow. It's, everything is just so 80s.
Do you think that's the time period, or do you think there's some decision up there about, like, standing, like, making a
elf sort pop of out.
Elf, red-orange elf.
Pop out against everything.
Pop out, yeah.
That could make sense. And also, I wonder if there's... Where does this show take place? Where do they live?
I actually started to wonder about that, because they were saying, like, they did establish that this... I thought at first when they were like, that college in Massachusetts, and I thought, like, oh, are they going to, like, avoid naming it? And then they did.
Yeah.
And then... But it was, like, then the alternative was go to, like, a state school. A state school. No, they were, like, it was a state school.
Yeah, because there are multiple...
And then at the end, Lynn was like, I have friends going to some of the state schools. Like, there are a bunch of them around.
Yeah, and I can just go to all of them whenever I want.
Yeah.
Just pop in.
I don't know if they do... yeah, I don't remember if they ever do establish where in the country they are.
Because I wonder if it's also they're wanting to specifically get across the tone of, like, this is very average suburban.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, not... It's not like a city. I mean, I'm trying to think of other late 80s sitcoms. I mean, Full House started the same year Alf did. Or maybe, like, a year after. And that house looks not... Yeah, but it's also San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, no,
so
they,
it's like,
yeah, they established that San
Yeah,
Francisco.
It's very, you know, maybe it's more urban. That house is very, like, a little bit cooler. Then, wait, what is the Alf family's last name?
Tanner?
Wait, they're the Tanners too?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Wait, what?
Am I bonkers here?
So Caitlin, Brian, and Willie Tanner?
Yeah, Willie Tanner.
Oh, wow. Well, this was NBC, and Full House was ABC, so CBS probably also had a Tanner installment. I wonder, it would be really funny if they established their, like, distant relatives.
Whoa.
Alf and Michelle do a crossover. That'd be so great. I also, just a bigger point that I have while watching this, and I guess this was around the time that Alf was peeking in their bedroom to, like, wake them up and make them go do all the work that he signed up for.
Yeah.
Was how humiliating was this show for the humans on it? Are there any episodes where any of the four actual people get anything interesting to do? Or is every episode this puppet doing funny stuff while all four of the humans are just not getting to do anything fun? They're not the ones driving the comedy. They don't get funny lines. They just, like, look at this puppet and roll their eyes. And I'm wondering, like, as an actor, how do you do that every week and feel good? I'm assuming they paid well, right?
Yeah, I assume they pay well. Well, yeah, so, like, the bit I know, I wish I was more of an expert, but the bit I know is that this, so, like, when they, it's a sitcom, like, they thought, like, all right, we're signing up for a sitcom, right? But because of all the puppet work, the set was built, like, 4 feet above, like, 4 feet above ground, right? It's, like, all elevated so they can get underneath to do the puppet stuff. There's trapdoors everywhere, right? Which is actually a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
And, like, and they constantly had to, like, a scene that wouldn't be... you know, that you could shoot, you know, in an hour or a couple hours, right, would take, like, three times as long on that set because of all the work they had to do with the puppet. And, yeah, and the cast hated it. It was so... No, and it's amazing. Like, look here, there's a quote by Max Wright, actually, about...
Who plays Willie, who plays the dad.
So this is Wikipedia. It says, Max Wright stated he despised supporting a technically demanding, inanimate object that received most of the good lines of dialogue. He admitted to being, quote, hugely eager to have Alf over with. And there's a story that, like, after they wrapped the final episode, like, after he was done, he just, like, got up his coat, left, walked out the door, and, like, never came back.
I can totally understand. It's really funny how there's, like, this meta commentary of Alf as the character in the show is selfish and demanding and is a leech sucking out the life of these humans. And then also Alf as the puppet on the show,
yep,
is doing the exact same thing. So a lot of the performances by, specifically the parents, they feel really real because those actors look real tired and real annoyed.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Oh, yeah. No, I think, yeah. No, Max Wright especially is great. And he's actually, he was like a stage actor and got a Tony. Like, he's, like, you know, I think it's important to act like good acting makes acting look easy, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's important. I think the right thing to say is that, like, there was definitely a lot of personal feelings that they did, that the actors did a really great job of channeling into their performances.
Because if this was a show about, like, a sweet, helpful alien that was just, like, so nice and, like, always, like, you know, granting them wishes or things, then the energy would be super off because, like, why are you guys hating on this totally rad alien? But no, you make the alien a total asshole, and it works because the situation is horrible. I also noticed that there's such a big age difference between the two children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it was very similar to the age difference between myself and my sister, I think. Because there's, like, 12 difference between me and her.
Right, because, like, what? So, Brian would have been about 10, and
she's going to college. There's at least eight or so years.
Yeah.
Which is a really, I mean, is that ever called out? It's such an interesting choice.
Is that? I feel like,
how often do sitcoms have siblings that are so far apart in age?
No, that's a good point. Because I feel like, well, is that true of sitcoms? Because, like, I feel like in terms of, like, casting a sitcom about a suburban family, it's, the formula is, you know, mom, dad, son, daughter, and one of them is a teenager and the other one's younger.
He's a little bit younger, yeah.
And then it's like, all my demographic boxes are checked off.
Yay!
And that, yeah, and that age gap. But, like, if it was an actual family, that age gap would be kind of like, man, what? Why did you wait so long between having your kids?
There's a difference between, because, you know, you have, like, your step-by-steps where it's, like, a blended family, and then eventually the new husband and wife decide to have a child of their own,
mm-hmm.
which happens in, like, season 5 or 6 of step-by-step when they have, oh, I want to say Grape. I know her name is not Grape.
Grape?
For some reason, when I think of the baby on Step by Step, it has something to do with jelly or grape or purple or...
Oh, I cannot help you. I did not.
No, it's like Lily? It might be...
Should we be looking stuff up?
Yeah, Welch's?
This is the kind of thing that makes... Welch's. This makes podcast listeners so angry. They start shouting.
Step by Step fan out there. I will look this up.
I'll say that while you're looking that up, like, because I'm trying to think, I was like, that feels like a common formula, and now I'm trying to think of other shows. The Munsters, maybe? Right? Because didn't they have...
No, the Munsters, they have one child, and the other one is the attractive woman, I think, is their niece, who comes to live with them, I think.
Well, but practically, it's still, like, a kid. Well, no, but I guess the point is, right, if it's like
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Her name is Lily.
Yeah.
So I have no idea where I was pulling...
Grape?
Was she, like, the Welch's baby or something? Did Welch's have a baby? I'm off the rails on this step-by-step.
If you have any idea how Lily is connected to the word grape, send an email to...
Maybe there's a plot line about her eating a lot of jelly. I have no idea.
I'll come back for that
that's
episode.
That's so stupid. I also like that... early on, Alf is just wearing a really cool, like, sweater vest and t-shirt.
Yeah, they, like, don't address that.
Wears, like, clothes.
He doesn't usually wear clothes. I think there are jokes about him wearing clothes or not wearing clothes. And I actually, when I saw that, I was kind of surprised. And I thought they'd call it out with a joke or something.
Really nice, like, preppy look.
Yeah.
But you think he could play into, like...
Well, he was excited about college, right? And he comes back with a pom-pom. He made pom-poms out of newspaper.
Yeah.
Give me an L! Give me a Y! Give me an N, N, N! Now lose the extra N! What have you got? Was it something I spelled?
Right? And so, like, I guess that was just part of, you know, the thing he was planning to celebrate Lynn going to college. Because he didn't know, at that point, that she wasn't going.
How horrible he was being. So, what works about this episode?
What works?
The the puppet works.
In what? Like, what do you mean?
Alf works. Like, Alf is
like
a...
it's competent? Like, it's competently executed?
Yeah, I think it is competently puppeteered. Great voice performance. I was really impressed with the amount of movement in the face. It really emotes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it emotes more than a Muppet, but not as much as, like, a movie puppet that's supposed to be a total, like, a Jabba the Hutt.
Right, so Paul
Fusco...
So
it's, Fusco, like, in between there.
Paul Fusco was the puppeteer, and it was the rig where it's, like, he was doing one hand arm and one in the mouth. There was a second assistant who was doing the other arm, and then they actually did radio control for, like, ears and eyes and things like that. So it was a pretty sophisticated rig. And, I wanted to bring this up earlier, I forgot, but, like, Fusco is a kind of, like, he's the kind of guy who, like, is very, like, he wanted to create this illusion of Alf as, like, independent of the show, right? Kind of the same way, like,
he would go on, like, to the Tonight Show and stuff, right?
Well, yeah, he would do that, but also, like, so the story, right, so this goes all the way up to, like, Tina Fey's story about him on Alf being on the 75th anniversary SNL episode that she was producing, right? was it SNL or just the 75th? Anyway, but like...
75th NBC anniversary?
Yeah. That's what I meant. And, right, because Alf makes an appearance, and apparently that was, like, the biggest headache of producing it, because he insisted that, like, nobody see the puppet stuff, right? So it was, like, they had to be in place, and then as soon as, like, Alf's part was over, they, like... took him down and snuck him out the building.
Nobody off camera, behind the scenes. Nope. They didn't want anyone behind the scenes to see the puppet stuff.
Wow. This point where it's like, no one, as few people as possible, should see this as a puppet. You should see Alf as a creature.
Are the Muppets that strict about it?
As far as I know, I've never heard any kind of similar stories like that. But the point is, right, like I think...
It's crazy.
I don't know. Well, I guess I think Jim Henson is also just a lot more, like, chill.
Chill. Like, yeah, hey, these are puppets, obviously.
But I don't know, yeah. Like that kind of... That story reminded me of, like, Pee Wee Herman, right?
Yeah.
Because Paul Rubens kind of did the same thing where, like, he would appear as Pee Wee Herman in public and, like, do interviews as Pee Wee Herman. And, like... And especially, like, pre-internet, right? It was, like... What is the guy's real name?
Yeah,
like, you kind of had to, like, do a little... It was hard to figure out if they didn't want you to... So, like, so as far as, like, you know, did it work? Does the puppet work? Like, yeah, he's a real, like, this was not, like, this wasn't, like, some producer guy had an idea for, like, a puppet thing, and they hired someone to do the puppet, and it was, like, half-assed, right? Like,
no, this is great puppeting.
Yeah, he was a puppeteer first that wanted to make a show, and at least in the quality of that, it definitely,
Does anything else about this episode... Work.
Well, it's funny we say work, because I don't know what, I'm like, well, what was trying to be, like, to what end? What was trying to be accomplished? Like, it's well done. Like, I don't know, yeah, I think it's, like, kind of unsatisfying. I mean, I one of the reasons why I picked it is because of that whole idea of, like, you know, Alf has such this, like, negative effect on this family.
Oh, no, it's a nightmare.
But, like, and they sort of, like, don't really resolve it in, like, a way... They resolve it in a surface way.
Yeah.
Right? Which is that, like, at the end, the music is nice, and Lynn is like, oh, you made an effort. I was such a brat.
Yeah.
And everyone's, like, happy to be a family.
They're, like, hitting... It's like, but, saying... It's like if you have a dog that only knows the tone of your voice, and so you're like, you want to go outside? Do you want to jump off a cliff? And he'll just, like, react the same way. Like, do you want a treat?
Yeah.
Do you want me to hit you? I would never hit a dog. But like, that's how it is. So the end of this episode, which segue into what doesn't work.
Yeah.
The end of the episode is hitting all those notes of like, everyone's talking in a sing-songy voice. They sound like they're apologizing. They sound like they've learned a lesson. It sounds like they've all grown and it's a happy ending. But it's like, no, it is a pretty bleak ending if you just like look at the words they are saying, which is the daughter who got into Amherst is a good school, right?
Yeah.
It's where her father went on the show.
Right.
She got in. She wants to go. They also could afford to do it before this alien freeloader came into their house. And so, like, the resolution is...
I've been acting like such a brat. I'm sorry.
You're still grounded.
I guess I could go to college around here.
You could?
Yeah. A lot of my friends are going to state schools. Can't be that bad.
Atta girl! Eat your words.
I've been such a brat. No, you haven't.
Not really. I mean, she was kind of...
You're so justified. This is her future. And the fact that her parents are putting up with this little nuisance that is destroying their homes and also their blood, like their daughter.
Right.
Alpha's making all these jokes about, like, I'm going to walk you down the aisle and stuff. And it's like, you're a nightmare monster. I don't want you. You're robbing me of having the education that I want for myself.
Right. I don't know, though, but on the flip side...
It's so horrible.
But on the flip side, right, you could say at the end, she... Like, at the end, it is a little bit of, like... So the funny thing is, I remembered it as that she doesn't get to go to college at all. And in reality, no, she just has to go to state school and be, like, a commuter, right? Which is, like, not that... Like, I mean, I don't know, right? It gets into, like, questions of, like... Well, what is, like, really, you know, how important is it to, like, go to a prestigious school and, like, you know, what kinds of, like, what obligations do you have for, like, I think the dog analogy, I think, is actually really good because, like a dog will, you know, like, the like Alf, you know, Alf is kind of a dog in a way, right, in that, like, he has, you know, he's not inert, right? He has agency, he has an intention, he has good intentions, but then he does things that are bad and you have to clean up for after him. And the question of, like, well, how, you know, how much should you hold him responsible for what he does? If it's a dog, you can be like, well, the dog doesn't know any better. And in this case, like, well, he's sentient and he's like, you know, he flies spaceship, like he's an alien, right? So you can converse with him. But also, he's, like, he's an alien. Like, he doesn't know how things work, and he, you know, so...
He knows, but he also is smart enough, as soon as he finds out he's the one that is dragging down her dreams, he's like, well, we need to get more jobs. Like, he's fluent enough in earthly customs to be like, okay, jobs equal money, they need more money, we need to get more jobs. And he, like, is pretty adept at going through the one ads and getting Willie a job interview as a men's room attendant.
Right.
And, like, he knows that... The thing that doesn't work for me about this is the fact that they say very clearly in the episode, like, wait, what? Like, you guys said that I could apply to out-of-state schools. You went to Amherst. And they're like, yes, we know. Like, that's what we said, but things have changed in the last year. Like, they make it very clear that the only reason she can't go to the college that they were totally fine with paying for her to go to, yeah, probably want her to go to, is because of this one little... thing that the show is named after and that gets all the jokes. That eats all the jokes.
Right. Which is actually kind of... Like, now you say it that way, I'm like, that is kind of weird to, like... Like, to set that... Like, I don't know, if you were actually having that conversation with someone in your family and you're like, well, it's because we have to take care of this other family member. Like, that is kind of a... And to leave that hanging.
And Alf isn't even a family member. He's a weird freeloading alien creature that they...
But they did... They accepted him. They gave him shelter. I mean, like, I don't know.
Okay, if you think, if they had known when he crash landed, if they had known this guy's going to be so much miscellaneous expenses for the next, you know, years, would they have taken it? Would you think they would have been like, take him away, government? If at that time...
I mean, they thought he was going to be... They thought he was going to be, like, you know, dissected, so...
Just like, okay, you are either going to be able to give your daughter to go to college, or you have to take care of this little shit.
I don't know.
It's a harder thing 2 years later after they become attached to it, and, like, it's become more of a part of their family, and,
yeah,
you know, they...
Well, that, yeah, so one of my criticisms watching it, like, when I was rewatching it, was that, like, I never really feel like Alf does the thing, like, they all sort of come around to be like, well, we're family. But you never really get the sense that Alf is, like, really remorseful.
No.
And it's like, does he... And it's not, like, does he understand... I think part of it, though, like, I think this kind of, like, analysis of the show is not something that you would have done 30 years... Like, 30 years ago, you would not have asked this of the script.
No, like, right? You know, it's a family show, so the kids would have... Like you did, the kid watches it just, Alf is funny, this is funny. The parents watch it and are like, this is... The parents probably watch it and do what we're doing, and then just, like, whatever, and don't think twice about it.
Well, none of that, right? You watch TV...
Just, like, tune into, not, like, either, and you have this gut reaction of, like, that didn't make any sense. So what's for dinner? Like, you know, you don't care.
I don't even think that. I mean, we're talking about Alf the way, like we're applying Star Trek-level analysis to Alf, right? Where it's, like... Because, I mean, there is a level... I don't know. Like, I always think of... Matt Groening did an interview once where he talked about, like... I guess they'd, like, surveyed people about why they like The Simpsons, and, like, the number one answers was, like, yeah, I like all the colors. Like,
yeah.
Because the way a lot of people relate to television is they put it, and it's not a problem, right? But it's, like, they put it on to have something on, you come home, and you just want to, like, get, you know, you don't want to think, and you just want to, like, be entertained, and not really think hard about it, and that's okay. And, like, you have familiar, you know, and it brings, like, familiar faces into your home, and that's, like, good, that has good feelings. So it's, like, you know, that's, so at that level, right, the fact that, like, okay, at the end, they do the form of reconciliation. The
performative reconciliation.
Yeah, right? They like, they hit all the notes, and they do the actions. They tie it all up, and Alf says a joke. And it's like, even watching it, right, intellectually, I'm like, I don't think...
This is horrible.
I don't think Alf really
Lynn's
deserves...
life is going in a different direction because of...
Yeah, but even, like, less than that, it's like, I don't think... I'm not sure Alf really deserves the forgiveness that Lynn is offering. But on the other hand, I still felt nice, like,
yeah,
the way
she
was like, oh, and that. So it's like... It works on that level... It works to the degree that I think it was trying to, it went as far as it was trying to go, it got there.
There's an interesting show in there, though, where, I mean, like we said, and like Max Wright, that's his name, like he said, Alf is the only character on the show. He's the only one that has jokes and, like, gets to do anything. There's something interesting if it's season 3 of the show... actually dealt with, Lynn is now going to the state school. She is mad. And now she just has, like, a running feud with Alf. Like, that would give her something fun to play. That doesn't happen. I imagine they probably never mention this again.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember now.
I was trying to think, like, I mean, what are all the other characters? Like, what is Brian's game? Like, what are these characters interested in? Like, why is Alf the only person that is... I mean, obviously he's the puppet, and it's, like, a funny puppet.
Yeah.
But the show could hit another level if they paid more... Like, let these people do anything other than just... I pointed out...
Yeah, yeah, no, I think
the only way that Alf
yeah.
gets attention is by insinuating there's danger. Happens twice in the episode.
Willie? Where's the fire extinguisher? .1 seconds. A new record!
Right.
And then to wake them up the next morning, he, like, walks in and he's like...
Now that you're up, can I see the two of you in the living room? Alf, we're tired. No, we want to go to sleep. Fine. But I don't know how you two can sleep, considering what's in the living room.
He's such a little shit.
Yeah.
He does that twice in the episode.
I'm trying, to the extent, I don't know, this might not have been a good episode to pick then if you really wanted to get the human casts, like, character games and so on. Because you definitely have, like, you've got the nosy neighbors, which you only see briefly in this one. You see...
Is she a regular?
Mrs. Achmanek, yeah.
Right, Raquel, right?
Yeah, Raquel.
Because that's Jerry Seinfeld's mother.
Yes. Well, in a different universe.
Yeah, in a different universe. I wanted to bring that up because she was in the Seinfeld episode we did, had a big part in that. We loved her on that.
Yeah. Yeah, so the neighbors have a big, you know, they come back a lot, and the, yeah, and there's different, yeah, there's like in this episode, Brian barely did anything.
No, I remember them I vaguely remember them having a, he likes Brian, right? Like, they're friends.
Right? Yeah, he's a 10-year-old kid with a furry alien pal. Like, yeah,
I also wanted to bring up how creepy it is in the opening credits when Alf, like, drops the camera. Anytime Alf drops the camera and then scurries on screen and you see, like, presumably, like, a child in a weird Alf costume, like, just the feet scurrying around.
It was an adult actor who was a very small
And then, like, person. At the end, when you see Alf, like, run into, like, the family photo shot, anytime you see a puppet moving like that...
Yeah.
Like, anytime you see, like, any Muppet legs, it's just always so weird. And it's especially...
Really? It didn't make you be like, whoa, this is... Maybe it's real.
Well, I was wondering if he seems... If he isn't scaled right is also the thing. I feel like the puppet Alf is smaller. Of course, he has to be smaller than than the suit Alf.
The guy in the suit was like three. We should look that up because
I don't know. I mean, this is only the one episode I've seen right now, but I feel like the Alf at the end of the opening credits is slightly bigger than the Alf you see like just sitting at the table. But that's also forced perspective, and who knows?
Ah, here we go. There were some shots of the tiny alien running or walking around. This was accomplished by the 2'9" actor, Michu Mesaros, who was wearing an Alf costume. So this can be seen in the series intro, the intro, which concludes with the Tanner family getting their picture taken. However, Mesaros' services became too costly, as well as time-consuming. The full Alf costume was abandoned after the first season.
Oh, okay.
So they only used that a little bit. But and it does look weird, because like knowing that it's just a suit... Right, when he goes out to take the photo, his face doesn't move. Like, his face is just there, because it's
a very nice Halloween costume.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out, in the very final episode, the very final scene of the episode is... It's very in the morning, like, they just finished their horrible paper route.
Right.
They come home, so it's morning, and I just want to point out the morning lighting is red. Like, that entire scene is so red. Like, in like the back of part of the kitchen, which is kind of like outdoorsy area, the light coming in there is just red. Huh. And it just looked so apocalyptic. It just did not look real, like, in any way. I was very taken out of this show about an alien because of the lighting in the back.
Interesting. I didn't really, like, yeah, that's one of the things that didn't really register for me, but now you say it, like, yeah, okay.
I was just looking for things to complain about. So let me get some trivia about the episode. You've already shared so many nice trivia bits.
Thank you. Well, I was anxious and I wanted to do a good job.
Well, and also, you've talked to me about all this Alf stuff before, so I knew it was in your noggin. So, again, it's hard to find ratings for older shows.
Even this? Even in 1988?
Yeah, it goes... It's weird. You're depending on other people having scanned in a whole bunch of USA Todays from the 80s. And just rolling. Like, the Golden Girls, I found one, and it had all been transcribed into just, like, text edit code. So it was just, like, a big block of, you know, number, like... TV show title, and just like a bit, I had to like do a control F to find it. And it So Alf couldn't really find it, but season two, the average number of viewers in season two was 18.8 million, which nowadays is so many. Like, that's Walking Dead numbers. and it also was the number 10 most watched show of the 87-88 season, tied with The Wonder Years.
Hmm.
So the other top 10 shows, this is what Alf was simultaneously aired with. So this is giving you an idea of the era. Number 9, Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
8, 60 Minutes, which I'm discovering I'm talking about 60 Minutes a lot on this show, because apparently 60 Minutes was a ratings juggernaut, and I had no idea. Number 7, Night Court, which I never knew Night Court was that big of a hit. I never knew it was a top 10 hit.
Hmm.
6, Who's the Boss? 5, Growing Pains, which is Alf minus an alien, plus Kirk Cameron.
All right.
4, Golden Girls. 3, Cheers. 2, A Different World. And 1, The Cosby Show. So the Cosby Show verse holding down that number 1, number 2 spot. That's the top 10. Does Alf fit in with those?
Fit in?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's the only one of them to have a puppet. That's for sure.
Well, in terms of stature, well, if 60 Minutes gets to be in there, then...
Yeah, it is a very... This is a very sitcom-heavy era, because they're all sitcoms except for Murder, She Wrote and 60 Minutes. That's interesting. Nowadays, it would all be The Voice.
For network TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes me sad. The IMDb rating. So 102 users rated this particular episode a 7.8.
Hmm.
Did you go higher or lower than that?
I would go lower. Well, this is for... For an ALF episode or for a TV episode?
Let's go both. Give me your both. I mean, since you've seen all of ALF?
For all of TV, it's probably... Maybe it's a 7, because there's probably a lot of terrible... I don't know. No, it's not a great... It's not bad, like, hard to watch, but it's, like, not the best... It's not, like, the best ALF episode. I pitched it because I was, like...
I cannot believe that this was a plot of... ALF.
This is the plot of the season finale.
Yeah.
And the meta thing was like, we just need to keep Lynn, like, we realize she's 18 and we don't want to write her out. We need to explain why she's still staying at home. But, like, the thing is, it could have been her plan to go to state school and stay at home all along.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't need to do that either. So, yeah, it's kind of like, as far as that, hitting that idea of, like, of like what the consequences of keeping an alien in your home are. I think it's like a great episode. As far as like, I don't think this makes anybody's like top 10 ALF episode. No.
I was wondering if they had switched around the episode to where she wanted like, she like turned 18 and for years her parents have been promising like, well, once you turn 18, we'll buy you a car. Like, we'll finally get you a car. You won't have to drive ours around. And instead of her going to college, it was a car. Like, if the stakes were lower, I feel like
there
that...
There is a car...
So I feel like that plays... I feel like that plays it better.
Okay, so now you got... Now you're making me want to look up the... No, because there's an episode where they buy... ALF buys a car. Here's the thing. I gotta figure out when it happened, because... Okay. No, it is... Okay, so this is insane. So, there's a season one episode... Baby, you can drive my car.
Mm-hmm.
It's mentioned on the Wikipedia because when they establish the here it is. Yes, the Melmac currency of Wernick is equal to 10. One Wernick is 10 American dollars.
Yeah.
Lint, gravel, and foam are as precious on Melmac as is gold on Earth. Whereas gold and platinum are so common, they're used in place of porcelain to make toilets and sinks. This is a plot point, because ALF uses all the gold in his spaceship to buy Lynn a car, a Ferrari. So, basically...
Wait, does the episode end with her keeping the Ferrari?
No, because it's a sitcom,
okay,
right?
Okay, I was like,
reset.
That's... Yeah.
But, like, so this season two finale happens a full year after the episode where... ALF's gold was wasted on a Ferrari and lost.
What? Like, they could have been using all the... Why weren't Willie and Kate like, oh, okay, well, this is your allowance.
Yeah, no, I think...
This is your allowance.
Well, I believe they discover... They do not know that his spaceship is full of gold until after he's used it to buy a Ferrari. And I think the Ferrari gets, like, crashed, right? Oh, so that it's all lost. So it's like... It's like, there was a chance, you know, in the...
This poor family.
Yeah, in a modern, like, yeah, in the modern day version of this show, right, where people are super obsessed with continuity, there would be dialogue about how we could have used that gold to go to Harvard.
It's a fun show. Honestly, like, asking all these, like, if we were to do an ALF reboot and actually ask all these questions, I think, like, it adds a more fun level of creativity, and, like, you get to, like... I don't know, you make a more rich, interesting show because of that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, having them talk about, like, yeah, if we only had that that gold, do you have any more gold? Where's your, like, let's go back into your spaceship. Like, let's figure this out.
Well, the trade-off is that would be interesting and satisfying if you were, again, watching it like Star Trek, right?
Well, but like, modern sitcoms also do that now.
Yeah, no, well, they do that now, right? Because it's so easy, because it's so easy to watch things in order.
Now, back then, it was just, when are you going to catch it?
Yeah, no, this, I was actually surprised that, I mean, like, I figured by 88, you were already in the like, I remember you guys were talking about, like, Dick Van Dyke, where it was like,
yeah,
there was like, it was just episodes and it wasn't really any sense of like season finale, we gotta do something special, like,
yeah,
there
yeah.
wasn't. And this, like, same thing, it was sort of, it did acknowledge it in that, like, we need to keep Lynn at home, but like, they didn't even have Brian in the end, like, it was like,
yeah,
he's barely in the episode and it's season finale, like, you'd think they would like have something big happen and they didn't.
No. I would give this, see, I can't rate it. If I was going to rate it against all of TV, I would give this like a 6.8.
Well, that's generous. That's
6.5.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, it's fascinating to watch from a technological, like, just a how do they do this
yeah.
standpoint. And Alf has some, like, okay jokes. I laughed. I laughed a little bit in this episode, but a lot of it was laughing at just, like, this is ridiculous. Like,
right.
this is, I can't believe that this is an episode of Alf where the daughter on the show's future gets totally derailed because of this garbage disposal of an alien.
I feel bad. I feel like when I talked to you about it, I was like, Alf is so terrible, and now you're being like, he's garbage. And I'm like, oh, he's not that. Oh,
I mean, he's also adorable and funny, and I liked playing with his puppet.
I would say I would give it a 5. It is a mediocre episode of Alf, I don't like playing, so that's easy to just pick the middle with.
I will say, like, if you ever want to come on, we can do whatever the IMDb users say is the best episode.
Sure.
But I also don't know if you want to go for a second round of ALF on this podcast.
I could just be the ALF guy if
yeah.
that's what you need.
The thing that I wanted to point out, which blew my fucking mind when I found this out, is that ALF was co-created by Tom Patchett.
Yeah.
Who was the showrunner on the Bob Newhart show for, like, the last 3 seasons with Jay Tarsis.
Huh.
So, Tom Patchett does the Bob Newhart show, and then he does ALF. Like, 8 years later, he hooks up with this Paul Fusco guy, and they do ALF. And so, watching this is, it's so fascinating.
Do you, like,
there's
what
nothing,
do you see... I mean, or what Tom Patchett, you said he did the last 3 seasons. Like,
yeah. And I've read, like, some interviews with Tom Patchett and Jay Tarsis, and you can see it, like, they, and I talked about this with Kevin Hines in our Bob Newhart Show episode last week, about how they tried to, like, in the context of other 70s shows, Bob Newhart was a weird show, and it doesn't read that way nowadays, but there was, like, a really dry weirdness to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you hear them talk about it, they talk about how, like, yeah, we were weird. Because they knew. They knew better than anyone. Like, they knew that the choices they were making when they made them was for the intention of being weird or doing things unexpectedly or just being a little bit offbeat, like the news radio of the 70s. And so that does, like, you know, I could see where, like, yeah, now let's do a sitcom with an alien, a puppet alien. That's a weird idea. And that's an inherently weird driver of comedy, so I can see that overlapping.
Yeah, if weird is your MO, and
yeah.
someone's like, hey, I want to do a show about an alien puppet, you're like, oh, right, this is, I can do some stuff
and
here.
Tom Patchett's leading men were Bob Newhart and Alf.
That's amazing.
So Alf has a pedigree.
Yeah.
Alf has got, like, a lineage. Yeah, so who would you say had the must-see performance of this episode? Now, I will say that usually when we do a show where the title of the show is named after a character, that character has always been, I think, the MVP.
Is that that's your pick?
No, that didn't happen on Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld was not... Jerry Seinfeld will probably never be the MVP on a Seinfeld episode. Or MSP. So, who are you gonna say had the must-see performance?
Willie.
Yeah, let's do Willie.
Yeah,
yeah.
You said like it's gonna be Alf going into it.
Yeah.
Like, did you definitely?
Well, it's going, like, usually it's like who is the funniest is what I judge this on, or like who just had, like, the most.
Oh, funniest. Yeah, no,
funniest
that's
has
that's
to
a
be
Alf. Question.
So, like, but, like, for this episode, I'm trying to feel like, what is my criteria for a must-see performance? And I think if your must-see performance criteria is, like, who has the jokes when it's fucking Alf, because Alf has all the jokes, because he don't give the jokes to anyone else. But you watch Max Wright as Willie, and he's, like, he's working. Like, he's trying, and he's also so tired. And
oh, yeah, no,
feel,
he's amazing.
He's in it.
Yeah, no, you can feel, Yeah, just the way he delivers every line is so great. Like, even the inconsequential lines, he, like, puts so much, like, of the tired...
Yeah.
Like, yes.
He's got a very... Of the other cast members, of the human cast, his character feels the most realized because, like, he has... And this might just be... I think it's just Max Wright's natural delivery. Mm-hmm. He has, like, a kind of weird walk-in-y, like a tired walk-in-y type of delivery. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He's definitely... Like, people... If he was a bigger name actor, people would be doing impressions of him all the time. Because he was also on Friends, and he was basically the exact same character.
Yeah.
He was the boss of Central Perk for a couple of episodes in season one.
Yeah, he got... Yeah, I guess he got typecast as being, like...
Harried and
crushed.
Yeah.
Sad, not even just harried. Yeah, no, he's like so... No, it's so... It's endearing, right?
Yeah.
You want to hug him. You really want to give out more... That is amazing, right? He is performing across from a...
Literally
fuzzy,
huggable.
Fuzzy, furry, alien, like, cuddly thing. But Max Wright is the one you want to hug because...
You want to hug Alf, but, like, you need to hug Willy. Like,
hugging,
he needs it.
Hugging Alf would feel... okay, but, like, hugging Willy would really deeply move you.
So,
like, that's the real... But I think that comes with age. Like I said, when I was 8, I was like, oh, Dad's always yelling. It's, you know, but, like...
Now I understand why.
But, yeah, but now I'm like, yeah, oh, man. Like, and as acting, as terms of comedy, I think even in terms of comedy, because, like, yeah, I think he makes a lot of lines... Like, he gets comedy out of a lot of lines that probably weren't even...
I mean, he made
jokes.
Me want to laugh at that one line.
Which
about
one?
Like the you get the experience of living with an alien. Like that's a funny line.
Yeah.
And he delivered it in a way that made me want to laugh, and then I didn't because I was like, no one's laughing. This is weird.
Yeah.
Would you say this is a must see episode of television for people who haven't seen it?
No.
I mean, off the top of your head, can you think of an Alf episode that is a must see episode of Alf?
The episode that I was excited to see again when I found it on Hulu and started rewatching it was the one where there's a cockroach in the house. And basically what happens is Alf has some, like, bug spray from... I forget if it was an Earth cockroach or a space cockroach, but I think... No, I think... Okay, I don't remember the combination. I'm going to guess that it was a space cockroach, and the fact was that using Earth insecticide on it made it grow.
Ah.
And so over the course of the episode, it turns from, like, an annoying insect to, like, a giant monster in the house. And it's kind of neat because it's, like, you know, I guess, you know, another puppet, and there's a little bit of, like, a, you know...
the actors had to be so angry that week. Another... Puppet.
More puppets.
Damn it.
But it, like, it gets to the point where it's like, you know, all you see is like the shadow of the thing. And I don't remember.
That sounds great.
Yeah, no, that was the one, that's the one that stuck, that stuck with me.
Maybe that's the point, like, maybe this show doesn't, like, we definitely overthought it, which is the part of the point of this podcast. But I think that's because the plot necessitated it. Like, Alf was like, here is a story about real life consequences from having an alien around,
mm-hmm.
and the family dealing with it in scenes with no laugh track, and then coming to a weird resolution that they treat as a dramatic, serious thing. Whereas what you just described to me is what the show I want to see, which is, yeah, an alien lives with this family, and it's just nuts. Like, they don't try and make sense of anything. There are no repercussions. It's just a crazy, weird thing, and like, that makes more sense.
Well, there's still I mean,
yeah.
Like, the cockroach monster is going to...
Yeah. You know, but they're not going to, like, have, like, a serious dramatic scene about, like, I don't know, a lesson learned or whatever. I don't want Alf teaching me any lessons.
Not going to learn it. No, I don't know. I think there's something interesting in there. Like, I don't know how to begin to unpack it, right? But, like, there's serious... There's consequences that are entertaining because they are just so outside of your... world, right? Basically, like, being devoured by a cockroach monster,
yeah.
Or even, like, being captured by the government and dissected because you're an alien. Those are pretty... Those are life-threatening consequences, but those are funny.
Yeah.
Being unable to afford to go to Amherst is, like, smaller, but more real.
Yeah.
And then, so, maybe, yeah, less funny.
Yeah. I would say this is, I don't know, I suggest everyone watch that episode of ALF. Maybe we'll watch that one next time. Watch this episode of ALF if you are just also equally as blown away that this was an episode of television.
Or if you
as
wanna,
I was, like, years ago when you first told me about this.
Or if you want to, like, show it to your family as a way of opening the conversation about...
Why your little brother got to go to college and you didn't.
Yeah, or, like, why Bernie Sanders was right and we should have... I don't know if you want to go there.
Free college. Oh, yeah, this would not have been the same in a Bernie Sanders America.
No.
Bernie Sanders kind of sounds like ALF.
Oh my god, you're
kinda
right.
Like
a little bit.
There's something.
Yeah, Bernie sounds like an older ALF.
Yeah. Whoa, you never seen him in the same. Did ALF ever meet Mr. T?
Probably.
Your shows are like A-Team and ALF, and I feel like...
I mean, not on the... No, the A-Team never...
No, that would have never happened.
No.
And I don't even know if they aired, like, overlapped air dates.
I think they were probably around the same
but,
time.
But there has to be, like, an ALF-Mr. T meetup at some point.
I mean, probably.
Anyway. If people know about an ALF-Mr. T meetup, where can they tell you about it on Twitter or the internet or find you?
I am
Or ben, things you want to plug.
I am Benzato on Twitter.
B-E-N-Z-A-D-O.
Correct.
B-E-N-Z-A-D-O.
If you're Canadian, yeah.
Or English, right?
Or English.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense, though.
What?
Z-A-D-O? That sounds weird. Z-A-D-O sounds right.
I mean, when you're trying to get someone to, you know, your Z never sounds like C, right? When you're spelling.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I see it now. So, I take it back.
I don't know. But whatever, man. It's on the internet, so you're typing it most of the time. Benzato on Twitter, and basically anything else where there's a username, I've had a lot of success keeping that.
You've had good brand recognition.
I have good brand consistency.
Yeah, not recognition.
I don't think I get a lot of recognition, but that's okay.
Put up the Benzato t-shirts, see how fast they fly.
The what t-shirt?
Just put up Benzato t-shirts.
Oh, just t-shirts.
See if people can recognize that.
Actually, the funny thing is, this t-shirt I'm wearing just says Outsider, and it's like, it is just some dude's blog, but I liked it because you didn't have to know that to appreciate it. And do you recognize?
No, but isn't that an apple leaf?
Yeah, that's
so I knew that.
See?
Boom.
But it works, even if you don't know that it's a blog.
Well, thank you for dropping into my apartment with this episode.
Thank you for having me. This was fantastic.
And that does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guest, Ben Regeeb, for dropping by and talking about ALF with me this week. Next week on the show, I'll be talking about the Taxi episode, Reverend Jim, A Space Odyssey. Reverend Jim, A Space Odyssey is in season 2 of Taxi. It's episode 3. You can stream Taxi on Hulu or CBS All Access. But this particular episode, as well as another, I don't know, 2/3 of all the Taxi episodes, are not streaming. So even though Reverend Jim, A Space Odyssey is arguably the best episode of Taxi of all time, and also one of the best episodes of a sitcom of all time, you might have a little bit of a trouble finding it on the internet, but just search for it and it will appear to you, hopefully. Until then, you can follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr at Must Have Seen TV. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review Must Have Seen TV in iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. You can read my words at Decider.com. You can check out my sitcom t-shirts and stickers at tpublic.com/users/Brett White. The theme song is Patricia's Moving Picture by The Go Team. And thanks to Acast for hosting the show. And thanks to all of you for listening. And I'll see y'all next week on Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.